This morning's scripture reading is from the book of Matthew, chapter 25, verses 31 through 36. And if there's someone who'd like to follow in one of the Bibles provided underneath your bench, you can find that scripture on page 876. And again, that's Matthew 25, 31 through 36. And the scripture reads, "When the Son of Man comes in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, then He will sit on the throne of His glory. All the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And He will set the sheep on His right hand, but the goats on the left. Then the King will say to those on His right hand, 'Come, you blessed of My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave Me food. I was thirsty, and you gave Me drink. I was a stranger, and you took Me in. I was naked, and you clothed Me. I was sick, and you visited Me. I was in prison, and you came to Me.'"
Good morning. Good to see you. Happy that you're here. I see that my notes from last Sunday night are up here. Lucky you, you get two sermons today. So happy that you're here. We have a lot of visitors with us today. It is always a thrill, a joy to have visitors come our way and to spend time with us. Maybe you're just in the area because of your visiting family over the holidays, and that's fine. Happy that you're here. Maybe you're church shopping, and you're looking for a church that's loving, that's warm, that looks like, behaves like Jesus Christ. If that's what you're looking for, you found it. And I want to encourage you to stay and get to know us better. So happy that you're here today. I want to ask you, if you were to build your own house, and you had the time, you had the resources, you had the money to do it, what would that house look like? Would that house be one story, or would it be two? Would it have a single car garage, or would there be several garages? Would it have a large entertainment center? Perhaps an exercise room? Maybe a swimming pool? What would this house look like? I would venture to say that if you had the time, you had the money, you had the resources to do it, it would be a beautiful home, a beautiful house. Brethren, I want to share something with you. The house that the Lord has designed is a beautiful house. It is. Now, some might be sitting out there thinking, "Oh, he's talking about the church building." I'm not talking about the building at all. But I am talking about those very precious souls whom Jesus died for that are the church. It is a people who are loving, who are tender-hearted, who are peaceful, and they are passionate for God's Word. I don't know what comes to your mind when you envision and you think about the first century church. But I see a very close church. The Apostle Paul said there in Colossians in chapter 2 and verse 2, with regards to those saints that were there, that their hearts, this is one of my favorite passages, are knit together in love. That's close. It is a church, as Paul would tell those saints there in Galatia, who bears one another's burdens. It is a church, as Paul illustrated there to those saints in Philippi, in Philippians in chapter 2 and verse 4, that they look out not only for their own interests, but they look out for the interests of others. We see the closeness occur right there on Pentecost in Jerusalem, when nearly 3,000 souls were added to the Lord's church. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 42, the way Luke records that they were, after they were baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of their sins, following that, they continued steadfastly, Luke writes and records, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, that is, their teaching, in the fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and prayers. One of the key words that underscores closeness in all that is fellowship. They came together and they did so steadfastly. They did so regularly. They were committed to Christ. They were committed to His teachings. And they were committed to the church. And they proved it to be so when they willingly brought their very possessions and they sold them and they brought the goods or that which they had collected to the apostles to be distributed among anyone who had a need there in the church in Acts chapter 2 and verses 44 and 45. Brethren, what a beautiful church. What a close church. It was a church who taught the same thing. It is a church that learned the same thing. It is a church that believed the same thing. It is a church that shared in everything. A church who loves, who embodies the very essence of Jesus Christ. Brethren, I'm here to tell you that such a church does not exist by accident, or is it just a coincidence? It requires knowledge. It requires an understanding. It requires loving hearts who are dedicated to Christ and His glorious kingdom and His word. Peace, harmony, and happiness, they do not just happen. It is an achieved effort, an involvement, by not just a few good men, but by every person that has named the name of Jesus Christ. I want you to consider, when Paul was writing that letter to those saints there in Ephesus, and he's talking about the intricate parts of the church, what makes it up, what makes it work. You recall there in Ephesians chapter 4 when Paul was referencing the fact that he no longer wanted to see the church being tossed to and fro by every deceit and craftiness of Satan, that doctrine that can infiltrate the church and poison the well. But in verse 15 he says, here's how we're going to do this. To avoid that, he says, Here's the church, speaking the truth in love, grow up into all things into Him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which, listen to this, every part does its share, causes, look at that, growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. This is Paul's way of saying, you know what? When every part is doing its part, guess what happens? We grow. When every part is doing its part, it grows. Fear that sometimes we make this church growth thing too complicated. To illustrate that point, I want to share with you the following scenario. The church had seen for a long time the decline of membership, visitors, they would have them every now and then, but they would come and go and not return. One night the preacher stood up and he said, "It's obvious that we have some matters that we need to address regarding this problem of losing members and not growing as we should. And following services tonight, we're going to have a meeting, an open format, an open forum, and we're going to discuss this. I want to hear your ideas." Services ended and the church gathered together, those that were interested in trying to fix the problem, and the preacher said, "Obviously, you know what this meeting is about. How do we address it, brethren? How do we fix it?" And one by one, the hands begin to go up. One lady said, "You know, I see a lot of churches, and they're doing things that work these days, and whether we like it or not, we're becoming more of an entertainment-driven society anyway. And churches down the street, they're growing like crazy. And it, maybe if we just have like a drama group. If we have a drama group and folks that might pique their interest and they may like that and perhaps that's something we should do." Another gentleman, he raised his hand. He says, "I got a great idea." The preacher says, "Well, what is it?" He says, "You know, let's hand out gift cards. I mean, folks, they just, you know, you can give them gift cards to things and then, you know, that might attract some folks to come in. And if we start handing out gift cards, let's just say the first 50 people that come, you get a gift card." Don't laugh. Another lady says, "I just don't think that we're visible enough. I think that people just don't know where we're at. If we put a big neon sign out here in the front yard, you know, and folks will just see that neon sign and they'll know we're over here, and I just think that's the way to go." Finally, one person, she raised her hand as the preacher called on her, and they didn't recognize her. She introduced herself to the crowd, and she said the following. She says, "I'm new to your community. I moved here about a month ago. When arriving, I knew no one. I knew nothing about this community. But do you see this little lady sitting over here beside me? When I moved into her neighborhood, she came over and she visited with me. She was very kind to me. She brought me a plate full of cookies. And she's come over just about every other day since I've lived here. Any questions I've had about your town, any questions I've had about this area, she's answered those questions for me. And one day, she invited me to church, and here I am." I'm here tonight because of her kindness, of her goodness, and of her invitation to attend. You may try entertainment. You may try freebies. You may even try a neon sign in the front yard. But I'm here tonight because someone has showed me unusual kindness and love. And the room was filled with silence. Finally, the preacher broke the silence by reading the following from John chapter 13 and verses 34 and 35. He says, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you. By this, all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." Would you believe that it could be that simple, brethren? Listen to me, folks. Growing churches are loving churches. growing churches are loving churches. Well, preacher, I know of some churches that don't quite hold true to the truth, and it looks like they're growing, no doubt. Do you want to know why they're growing? Brethren, they're not growing for what they're doing. They're not growing for what they're doing wrong. They're growing for what they are doing that is right. And that is showing love. Newsflash. And I know this isn't going to sit well probably with some folks, but I'm going to go out on a limb. People do not care what goes on in here as long as they know that you care about them and you love them.
Well, that's just not the right attitude to have. That's not the way that they should be.
But that's the way folks are. It gets back to that old saying, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. You see, that's what it comes back to. You might be sitting there saying, well, visitation. What does this have to do with visitation? Brethren, it has everything to do with visitation. Visitation is an outgrowth of our love. If we don't have the love one another part down, we aren't going to have the visiting others down either. And we're not going to fool anyone in here, and we're certainly not going to fool anyone out there. As a matter of fact, if I correctly understand the criteria by which we'll be judged, as Roger read for us from Matthew chapter 25 and verses 31 and 30 through 36, it is a very proactive faith. It is not one that just sits on its hands and observes, but it is a proactive faith. It is willing to roll one's sleeves up and share one's heart. Before we get into the moving parts on this topic, the who, what, when, where, and why, I want to say this with much clarity. I am not giving myself a pass on this, but I'm stating the truth. And the proof is in the pudding. The visitation cannot be done by one or two or a few good men or women. Especially the preacher. Oh, there you go, preacher. Giving yourself a... Next you'll be asking for your own little parking spot out here in the parking lot. Yeah, and then I'll go get my new car and have everybody criticize me. Preacher got a new car. It must be painting too much. But anyway... Let's not go there. You see, in a lot of folks' minds, let's just be honest with one another, in a lot of folks' minds, the preacher is bought and paid for. And when he makes a visit, when he calls, when he shows affection, when he shows attention, he's bought and paid for. He's supposed to do that. But when they are calling, and they are visiting, and they are sharing and showing their hearts, it moves beyond him, the bought and paid for, to they care about me. They love me. You understand what I'm saying to you? Let's shift gears just briefly, and then we'll be finished with this. When we talk about visitation, there's one or two ways that you can do this. Or they can coexist. One is a formal visitation program, which we've had in the past, and I'm going to discuss that just briefly in a moment. And the other is just personal. It's personal. It's individual. Both are okay. some folks don't need someone to tap them on the shoulder. They don't need to be in a structured program. They simply see a need. They pick up the phone. They write a letter. They send a card. And that's great. But not everybody's like that. Some are more like, you know, I like structure. And I like falling into this thing of structure. There's checks and balances and there's a system in place. And I can make a strong argument, brother, for a well-directed visitation program. I don't know which one is you, but they can both coexist. You see, back in 2009, we had a visitation program. And I thought it was a working model. I thought it was one that was effective. It got folks involved, was not overbearing, was not intrusive. Let me explain it just to you a little bit, because I think that's the model we're going to revisit. It was a model by which we asked for volunteers. Let me tell you something. A visitation program is only good as its volunteers. We asked for volunteers. Folks could do one of three things. They could say, hey, I'll send cards. You give me an assignment, I'll send a card. I'm good with that. Others said, you know what, you give me the assignment, I'll make a call. But I'll make calls to the members because I'm not really good talking to strangers. You know what, that's okay. Because guess what, there's some of us that can't shut up when we talk to strangers. And guess what, Brian Casto is the deacon over that program. And I know the two elders that are involved in this are Lloyd and Archie. Look, they'll match you up with where you want to be just as long as you are being and doing something. Others are, yeah, I'll do the visit. I'll do a visit. I mean, schedule's pretty full this week, but looks like Tuesday night. Or it looks like Thursday afternoon. I can go out and I can do that. If you agree to be a part of going out and visiting folks on your own time. And the way it worked was back in 2009 is that after about a week or so, you'd be given an opportunity to complete that assignment. And a lot of these assignments, now listen, you would receive them by email. We're going all digital. We're going all electronic anymore, aren't we? But not everybody. Well, I don't know a thing about that big old computer over there. That's okay. You'll get a hard copy. Pencil and paper. Pen and paper. You'll be given your assignment within a week, a little over a week. There'll be a central location for you to return that assignment, folded up, maybe in an envelope if you like. You don't need to go, where's Brian? Where's Brian? Where's Lloyd? Where's Archie? Where's Scott? Now, come running for me if you only have a check in your hand doing that. But, you know, there will be a central location. Brian will discuss some of the intricate details of that in just a little while after we're finished with the lesson and you decide you want to do this. Which I know many of you will. Maybe some of you were involved in a program like this before. I asked Brian, I said, Brian, is there anything you want me to share while I'm up here? Just tell them basically, assume we know nothing. I thought, well, that's an easy one. You know, because there will be folks that, well, I did that in the past, and I was just assuming that you thought I would do it again. No. After today's lesson, you're going to be given the opportunity to get with Brian. Brian's going to be right up here following our services this morning. And there will be a sheet for you to fill out with regards to whether you're in or you're out or what you want to do. I like the model because it's not intrusive and it's not overbearing. And I realized as it evolved from 2009, it went from this set of principles to that set of principles, that it kind of was a dead duck after a while. This model has worked, and it will work as long as you will work. Real quickly, three good reasons, brethren, why we need to do this. It complies with model of evangelism. One getting one. It complies with that model of love that God expects from us. I forgot my picture. Do you recognize any of these people? It complies with that model of love. I'm going to finish with this. Lloyd, you know this to be true. You were involved in this with me. I'm not going to mention their names. Several years ago, though, there was a particular family visiting this congregation. And they had come for a couple weeks, and, you know, the elders, I know, always have both antenna up, you know, when we have visitors and they're just loving and gushing and just want to make you feel welcome. So there was a couple weeks this one particular family was attending, and Lloyd met them at the door, got a card from them, made an arrangement to do a visit. He called me, told me the night and time. I said, okay, I'm free, let's go for it. He and I got together, and we went out one night throughout the course of the week to this family's home. Guess where they were? They were sitting out in the front yard. They were sitting out in the front yard. We parked, and we went up to them, and we said, well, how's it going? Glad we were able to find you. Didn't know what the GPS was giving us the right direction or not, and they looked at us and said, we've been waiting on you. I said, oh, we knew that. We made the arrangements for the visit. They said, no, you don't understand. We've been waiting on you. Here's what they were saying. We've been attending for a while, and we were just curious if you were curious about us to come and see us, to come and visit us, come to get to know us. We went there to see you and worship God, and we've been waiting on you. Now, I don't know what your thoughts are about that, but I'm quite fine with that. I'm okay with that. Jesus, when he started his ministry and when he ended his ministry, and anything in between, did not set up a building. And intend for that to just be the determining place and thing that people are to associate with knowing him. He was out and about and involved in their lives. That's what Paul said in Acts chapter 20 and verse 20. He did not shun to proclaim to them the whole counsel of God. He said, I proclaimed it publicly, and guess what? And house to house. Brethren, let's not get away from that. That's why I asked you at the beginning of this sermon, what did the first century church look like? You see, that's what we need to look like. That's what worked then. That's what will work now. I'm excited. Great things are happening, brethren, in the kingdom of God. Great things are happening. are in store for this church. I believe it. I know it. Once your involvement, when every part does its part, it brings about growth. It's up to you where we go from here. Following this morning's sermon, Brian Castro is going to be up here. He'll have some information for you to fill out. If you've got any questions, feel free to ask him. If he doesn't know the answer, we'll get back with you and make sure you get an answer. But want to encourage you most of all today, if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and your Savior, you've not been baptized into Christ, oh, friend, you're missing it. You're missing it. You're missing the greatest relationship with God, the greatest relationship with God's people, and the greatest thing that God has to offer you, eternal life through His Son Jesus. So we're inviting you to come forward this morning, repenting of your sins, confessing Jesus as your Lord and Savior, be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of those sins, and live for Jesus. Maybe you have done that, and maybe you've strayed away. You've fallen away, and oh, you've been here in body, but not in spirit. You're re-energized. You're recommitted, and you want to return. This is the time for you. If you need to come forward, please do so. Together, we stand and we sing the invitation song.